Hey, friends. In this podcast, we talk about the show Hey Dude, which ran from 1989 to 1991 on Nickelodeon, and then for a long time in syndication. You can find it on Amazon or iTunes or stream it on Paramount Plus. It's a great show. You should definitely watch it along with us, but you do not have to. Also, we often say some naughty words in this show, so just be prepared.
This is the wrong episode. Hang on.
Listen, you should do the right thing.
I should do the right thing. Jess, do you want to tell me about this one?
Yeah. Well, first, I think we should say welcome.
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 To Yay Dude.
That was a really good one.
That was pretty good.
Welcome.
Oh, God, that's so good.
So good. To Yay Dude. It's our Hey Dude Rewatch podcast, and I'm Teresa.
My name's Jess.
Correct.
How many points?
Well, out of how many?
Well, the number of points is infinite, but the merit of the task is probably a below tenner. Like, I gave myself 140 points for having a vegetable today.
Okay. Well, knowing your name then seems like that should be 16.
Nice. Thank you.
Vegetables are way harder than saying your name, but I don't want to tell you that saying your name isn't hard because I've definitely screwed that one up a couple of times recently.
I get it, dude.
My boss's boss was writing like a really intense email and she was really trying to be like, oh yeah, and then here you go. The zing. And then she spelled her name wrong. And it's an only a 3-letter name.
Oh boy. Yeah.
She was like, well, that probably made it not as impactful.
Bless her, she tried.
I know, she's awesome.
So this week's episode is called Do the Right Thing. Do you know what the reference is?
It's the Spike Lee movie, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called Do the Right Thing.
Right.
From 1989.
And I feel terrible, but I've never actually seen it. And I know it's kind of an important one, but I haven't seen it either.
Maybe we should have a movie night.
We should. It's Black History Month, we should say. So that might be actually a really good thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how this whole thing got started. Jess and I were trying to be like socially conscious and we would have TV time together apart. At the start of the pandemic, and we would be like, you know what, we should watch this really important documentary or whatever, and then we just devolved.
Yeah. It got to watching Saved by the Bell pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, it was life was a lot as it was, and so sometimes you just gotta watch Saved by the Bell and see how far you've come.
That's kind of why Yay Dude felt appropriate, as we were watching 90s television together from the era, and Hey Dude was the right show that we needed to be watching.
Today is a very good example of why this show is so far superior to Saved by the Bell. It's not even funny.
Oh my God.
I loved Saved by the Bell, but woof, that one is hard to watch sometimes. This one felt pretty good about it.
This one was written by Steve and Deanne Roth, who we last saw on New Kid on the Block.
Oh, that was such a good episode.
But just listeners, beware, they screwed up on IMDb and they give credit for the last 6 episodes to this couple when you click on their links. And I don't understand what's happening.
Do you think they know somebody on the inside at IMDb and they're like, hey, give us extra credit?
I wonder.
Did they take credit for Magnum Ernst?
I can't remember if it went back to 4 or 5.
Okay.
I think so. But they have not been active in anything since 1998. I did a little Googling and was not able to find anything proper. But we'll see a few more episodes from them this season.
I love that they're a duo doing this together. I'm totally, yeah. I couldn't do that. I don't think I could write a TV show with my husband. I'm assuming they're spouses.
I mean, I am too. They wrote an episode of The Golden Girls together, too.
What was that episode?
No. Listen, I fucking lied to you. I'm so sorry. I meant Designing Women.
Oh, that was a good show, too. Oh, and I can see why you confused those two. It's a bunch of sassy broads.
Yeah, but only one of them has Delta Burke.
Yeah, true. Only one of them has a Betsy Ross. That's not it. Betty White. Betty White.
Good try.
Neither one has Betsy Ross.
Steve also, he wrote an episode of Power Rangers in Space. So,
oh, fancy.
You know.
All right. I do know
that now.
I know.
This episode was directed by Frederick King Keller, and it aired on the 11th of, the 2nd of November, 1990.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the synopsis?
I do.
Are you sure, though? There's a lot of spoilers in this one.
I think it's okay to spoil it with the synopsis. Actually,
yeah, since we kind of dart between topics sometimes.
Yeah.
So Danny has to make a big choice between doing what is right and doing what everybody else wants him to do when an archaeologist comes to visit the Bar Nun and discovers a sacred Indian burial ground. Also in this episode, Jake and Buddy search for the Ernst Ness monster.
This is the first synopsis we've ever had that does a little tag, the
B-plot
at the end there. Yeah.
As if that were anywhere near as important
to
the main plot. But also, it was the perfect B-plot.
Yeah, the levity was important.
And I sure would be grateful as a watcher to be able to find that episode quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, it's a really good point, actually. They probably should synopsize. Is that it? Yeah. Okay. The B-plot also. I don't think so. What is the... How do you make that into a...
Synopserate. Verb?
Synopserate?
Yeah. That one's right.
Synoptify? yes.
That would be a really good website for AI to make synopses. Like, have it be specifically blurb generative.
Yeah.
God, I looked at the flipping worst AI website in the world today. It was all about tube socks. Oh. And it was just like, there are knee socks, there are sports socks, but today we're talking about tube socks.
Oh, I like the robots. So far so good in my book.
There's one other thing that we do at the beginning of the show, which is tell you who the extras are.
Please.
The supporting cast. Joan Sharp Henning and Bobby Joy Smith and David Bukunus.
Ooh.
We're all men and women guests. And the man who plays Fenton Smith, the archaeologist, is Mark Lang. And do you know where you recognized him from?
I know that we've seen him before. Mark Lang, I know you've called this out, like, oh, he's going to come back. And I think he might be.
He was the pilot robber in
Yes, he was the pilot.
I was so relieved when I figured that shit out, because he's got so much different hair this time.
But he still kind of had the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about that episode until just this moment, and I loved it.
Yeah.
That was so fun. That was Yost, I think. We still need to figure out whose plane that was.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. We gotta.
Yeah, so if you're listening, and that was your plane that you used as the prop, I have some guesses. But anyway, if you are a fan of the show and listening right now, please send us an email at yaydudecast@gmail.com.
Do you think it was Paul Reiser's plane?
No, that would be cool, though. That would be a good way to segue into our two My Two Dads.
You guys, we're thinking about what happens, you know, after season 5, and I don't know if y'all saw on Instagram that I posted a thing from when I was in third grade, saying that my top number one favorite show was Hey Dude, and my second favorite show was My Two Dads. And we're thinking that that might be our second podcast.
Could be really good.
Yay Dude 2. Our two dads.
Well, you want to get into it?
Yeah, I do. I really do. This episode has been among my favorites to watch.
I'm going to tell you, this is a classic episode. Do you remember it?
No.
Really?
There were parts of it that sort of hit home. Like, mm-hmm. I know this note. I know what's happened. Like, but I mean, most of my recollection from the show is pretty spotty.
Yeah. I remember
you this. Remember it.
Oh my gosh. Vividly. Vividly.
Tell me more.
Well, I know memories? I'm not the only 90s kid out there who feels this way. Like, I'm sure on the Instagram, if you follow us on Instagram at YouJudeCast, when we post about this one, let us know, because I think that this, there were a few other episodes. Like, there was the one where Danny and Ted had the bet that Ted couldn't go a day without something from Native American people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where they've really touched on some pretty important things to teach kids about that probably weren't in their history books. This one, though, I think knocked it out of the park. It's pretty tropey and often to talk about Indian burial grounds.
It was very popular. Yeah.
It was very popular, but this one wasn't leaning into that, ooh, it's spooky haunted because of the burial ground. It kind of did a little zag on you. It wasn't about the spooks. It was about Danny and his moral dilemma of his letting his ancestors rest versus... It was very deep, actually, in the way they... Is this exploitation? Is this learning? Is archaeology and putting things on display good thing? Is it a bad thing? And ultimately, where they landed, where Danny landed, and then Mr. Ernst, after hearing him out, was that, no, these are my family members, and this isn't anyone's place to take them out of their resting spot, which... Holy smokerooskies, that's deep stuff for a 6, 7, 8-year-old. And so preface, I watched this one with Sam, and we paused it and we talked about it, and it was really cool watching it with him, because I know, based on my experience, he's going to remember this. I sure did.
So I love it.
I honestly, it's been so long since I've seen this one, and I was expecting to watch it and be like, ugh, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I did not. I still felt the same way I felt as a kid, which was, wow, I need to have a different perspective on things. I didn't even think about that. That's, wow, you know?
Yeah. The times I wrote you in my notes were the colonizer says, and they're calling him out, and it sounds gross when you hear the colonizer talking.
Yeah.
And they reflect that, and that was pretty brave.
It was really brave. This one... We've kind of given them poop before for, like, we haven't climbed very far up on the ladder of, you know, anti-racism. But this was an extra rung, if you ask me. I think good job. For 90s kids show? Hell yeah.
And this is my favorite I've seen Joe Torres, because, my God, how hard must this have been?
Oh, my God. He really
As a Mexican-American actor, like. Young human in America dealing with all of it. I really felt him in this.
Like, yeah, I did too. And I want to just figure out the way to say this. I do want to touch on the fact that I have heard people or seen people talk about him online that, like, he has some indigenous Mexican heritage. Right. So I don't want to make it seem as though we don't believe that, you know, indigenous people from Central and South America are not also indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. And I was so intrigued to hear when I was doing etymology crawl for this week's ep that the Hopi language is a Uto Aztecan language. It is much more closely related to the Aztec Nahuatl, for example, the languages from that area than it is to Southwest the United States.
The Southwestern United States. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make me wonder if we have over speculated that he is not indigenous at all. Right. And I just want to. I want to be cognizant of the fact that North American indigenous people are not the only indigenous people to areas of this world that have been colonized. So, mm-hmm. yes, perhaps, you know, we've not been quite fair. And I will say he did a fantastic job in this episode. So I feel like he did bring through his acting a very important message about the Hopi people and just indigenous people in the Americas in general.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that.
You're welcome, dude. Help a guest earn a ribbon.
Help a guest earn a ribbon.
Yeah.
These two girls, one of them is Becky and the other I think is Jody.
Becky grew up.
Yeah. They each won a ribbon. Our Mr. Ernst is handing them out on the front porch, and just everybody gets them. They all help guests.
So many.
Yeah.
So many ribbons. And I found it interesting. Employee of the Week didn't really work, but ribbon.
Everybody
wants a ribbon.
Danny's given extra tours, lizard tours.
You know what they say about kids in the 90s? Everybody gets a ribbon.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And also a lizard tour.
I know. I liked that one.
I also love little kids on hobby horses.
Holy smokes, right?
And Jake leading them. That's just that's the dream.
That's pretty damn cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But then he also marches grown men on horses through the lodge. And Mr. E does one of those real fine Jake calls.
Jake! And then as the pro that he is, David Brisbane scratches his head and shakes his head and does all sorts of Mr. Ernst faces while mm-hmm. the credits start to roll and he has to be silent acting. Silent mm-hmm. overacting.
Yeah.
And I love it. He does it really well.
He's the perfect Mr. Ernst. I couldn't ask for anything more.
And there, I couldn't stop thinking about in this episode that he was younger than us while yeah. filming this. There was a point where one of the extras or one of the little side character gals, older gals, called him like young man or something. And I thought,
yeah,
oof, that's not, yeah. that is a younger man.
Isn't it? Yeah, that way. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. Buddy is going to be a photojournalist when he grows up.
This part was cute.
Yeah, he is snapping pics of Jake and Melody and Brad. Or Danny and Melody and Brad?
Danny, Melody, and Brad.
On that screen right now.
Very, very reluctant photographies.
Yeah. But then they show the little candids that he gets, and I believe in him. I hope he grows up to be a photojournalist.
Yes, the little still shot freeze frames. I love that tactic in television. I love when that happens. And it's not a flattering picture of our beautiful Christine Taylor.
No.
But somehow, she still looks good picking stuff out of her teeth.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
The other two look pretty darn cute, too.
Yeah, this crew, they're cute as little flipping buttons.
I do have to say, I think this might be one of the most attractive young casts of shows that I've seen, right? And not like in your face about it. It wasn't like 90210 where they were supposed to be like hot teens. This is just a good looking group of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For dang sure.
No, I mean, makes sense, though, that David Lasher went over to 90210.
Yeah.
Also, good-looking guy.
That frankly, is the environment where he belongs.
Mm-hmm. They all do. Look at them all. They're beautiful people. All right.
I want to tell you that Jake brought in some mail for Buddy, and he snatches it out of his hand when he opens up these photos that he got printed out. And there's a nice picture of a lake.
There is. And I do have to say again, these teens and their mail snatching, opening other people's mail, I want to smack their little hands.
It's not okay.
It's not okay.
Yeah, your son needs to know that.
We would need to remember to ever go to the mailbox in order for him to learn any mail lessons.
Good point.
Our poor mail carrier, we have, you know, we're in a townhouse, so we have the big, like, box of little mailboxes, community mailboxes. And it's one of those things where if you get a package, they put the key for the big box in your little box. And I think we probably are hoarding the key half the time because we just never go get our mail. And so we've got the key to the, I don't know. I don't understand how it works then. Like, what are other people supposed to do?
Maybe the mail carrier just has a stash of keys.
No, but I mean, every time we, like, can they put other people's packages in the same?
Oh, probably not in the same one, huh?
I don't know. Maybe they can. I don't know the rules.
No, because you have never checked your mail even a single time in the years that you've lived there.
The one time, the very first time when we just moved in here. And I'll tell you, when you live in a townhouse, it's the folks who've been in there for a long time, the older folks, the first thing they want to do is come meet you and then tell you all the rules.
Yeah.
They love doing that. They love telling you the rules.
God, I can't wait to live in a townhouse and tell people the rules.
Oh my God. They love to. And so I was like, hey, yeah, okay, nice to meet you. Thanks for the rules. And then I went like the next day to get the mail and I left my key in the mailbox. And then somebody broke in all the mailboxes and they had to replace everything. And then the guy who told me all the rules came by and said, your key was left in the mailbox. And I said, I just didn't understand. I was so dumb. I was like, what? Who had a second key?
Oh, friend.
I know. It was me, but I never admitted it because at the moment, I didn't think I did anything wrong. And then I went inside and realized, oh, wait, I don't have the key anymore. So welcome to the neighborhood.
Back to mucking the stalls.
We can't go to the next scene yet, though. I know you want to get to the stalls because you love it, but... Yeah. We didn't mention that this picture of the lake on further inspection by Jake.
Oh, right.
He's like, whoa, what's that? That's something. There's something in that picture. Gotta be a lake monster.
Yeah. So just like Loch Ness or Ogopogo?
Ogopogo I hadn't heard of.
He's Canadian. And Jake goes ahead and gives this little monster the name, the Ernst Ness monster.
I love it.
God, it's so beautiful.
This whole bit had Sam super excited.
Oh yes,
he was like, oh, they're gonna go in the lake and look for it.
Yeah. And then we see Buddy all snorkeled up and they have like all the right gear for deep lake
finding.
Deep lake living. They're just gonna go ahead and move in under the lake.
Yep.
I mean, that would be the way to catch the monster.
Where do they get all this stuff all of a sudden? They have a wheelbarrow full of all sorts of like ectograms.
No, I would think it would be more like sonar.
I thought it looked like whatever they used in Ghostbusters. That's why I said ectogram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder, it's possible that lake monsters are ghosts rather than, I mean, that would make sense why there's no physical evidence of them. Just random sightings.
The sonar makes more sense, though, for what they actually do.
Yeah.
Well, they go off with their wheelbarrow, and then the gals and Danny are shoveling hay, as you do. Mm-hmm. When Mr. Ernst walks up with this pilot, who is not a pilot this anymore.
Former pilot. But
turned.
Still evil villain looking dude.
Yes. He's got glasses and a vest and a cowboy hat that's sort of a safari fedora.
Well, and it's got a jaunty leopard print band around it, which just is, it's pretty great.
It's very good.
Yeah, you expect to see it at a wine mom store.
Yeah, obviously you think this archaeologist is pretty cute.
I also think he looks a bit murdery.
He is cute and murdery. I don't think they were going for cute, but I think we're 40 now, so we're like, oh, he's kind of cute.
Yeah, but also like those 80s glasses just have the serial killer, like many serial killers wore them, and it was such a shame.
Well, they walk up and Mr. Ernst explains that this guy's an archaeologist and he's going to investigate the ranch and see what he can find, right?
Mm-hmm, that's the plan.
And Danny's going to show him around.
Yeah. And Danny's pretty stoked. He's like, but then Melody says the cringiest thing. Your heritage pays off. Yeah.
That one I didn't like, but I wonder if that was intentional to have her sound kind of ignorant.
I think it probably was.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take a quick detour to etymology, Carl?
Please, oh please.
Because Danny's explaining that he's taking Mr. Arthur? No.
Arthur Conan Doyle?
Yeah. Fenton. Yes. He's taking Fenton, which is such an archaeologist name.
Totally.
Just a shame he's not British. Like, but... He uses the word Chervoka to describe, and he says, I'm taking you to the Chervoka, which means a deposit to new soil. And I did my best to try to find this word. And I would love for somebody to tell me that it is, in fact, a Hopi word. And my spellings and the closed captions, like, were just wildly off. But I was not able to find any evidence of this word. But I did read some really interesting articles on the 2000-year history of corn cultivation in the fucking desert.
Wow.
Like, it totally... blows my mind how it has always been an agricultural space.
Yeah, we've talked about that previously, and I didn't believe that they would grow corn there. And then I looked it up and I was like, well, I'm wrong, which is wild to me. I'm so impressed.
I love this quote from a man whose name is Sekakwaptewa. And I'm sorry, I tried looking at the linguistics and my pronunciation is probably way off. But he said, dry land farming is not about growing food. It is a religious practice. It teaches us modesty and humility to live in harmony with and respect the land and all that it gives to us.
Aww.
And I really liked hearing him talk about all of the incredible practices and how the heck they do it. And he also mentions that he found a lanza. He says that means spear in Hopi, and that is called a Hispanism, which is a introduction of Spanish into the Hopi language. Lanza means spear in, or lance in Spanish. So it's not that it's wrong. I think it is used in Hopi. But it is not an indigenous word. But before we leave the subject of the Hopi language, I wanted to mention that there are only about 5,000 Hopi speakers around.
Really?
That number seems to be from quite a while ago. I couldn't find any updated numbers. And there are only 40 people who at the time of this study were monolingual.
Huh. Wow.
And I get so sad when languages die.
I know.
The language is such an opening to understanding how the world works. I really hope that the resources to continue learning the language are still there and still that people still want to keep it alive.
I was lucky enough a few years back to travel for work to the Navajo Nation. And then also there's a lot of overlap with Hopi territory. And I stayed in Tuba City, Arizona. I think I probably mentioned this to you. And there is a lot of Hopi. There's like a Hopi village there close by. And so we got to be in that area. It's like painted desert area. It's beautiful. Mm. But yes, I'm trying to find the name of the place that we stayed. And I think it was actually run by the Hopi Nation. Pretty cool. And I would hate for that all to die out as well. Because you're absolutely correct that language is dying out is just one of the saddest things. Yeah. Because language is our reality. It's everything. What we can communicate is existence.
That's why learning Spanish in college was so exciting to me, was I got to learn who I was in a different language. And yeah, living life in Spanish was just a totally different facet of who I get to be in the world.
Like when you went and got a grabadora, so you were very embarazado.
I did tell the family I lived with in Costa Rica that I was pregnant accidentally. That was embarrassing.
Well, because you didn't,
which is the cognate,
mean to get. Weren't they asking for an umbrella? You brought them a tape recorder.
Yeah, I mean that was
the thing that made you pregnant.
I feel probably.
I think that's the story, and I tell it to people. But they asked for, what is it, a paraguas or something?
Yeah, no. Paraguas.
They like kind of giggled at you, and then you said, soy embarazada or something. And then you're like, nope, that's not what I am. I'm not pregnant.
But they had a moment where that is, because I was having such a hard time getting it out of my mouth, even that I was embarrassed because pride.
You were so cool. How cool is it that between high school and college, you went to Costa Rica and you got electrocuted on a horse? I thought you were going to be way too cool for me. I really did.
I am so glad that you realized quickly that I was not.
It took a few days, though. You really? Had such a cute haircut, and you like had all those cute headbands, and you had an iMac.
I did.
And you're like live journaling. Mm. You were way cooler than me. You knew what like tofu pate was. I didn't know that shit.
Oh, bless Eugene, Oregon.
I didn't know anything about that kind of worldly stuff. But I could tell you about Dave Matthews. So Danny and this guy are digging around. Danny takes him to, what was the word again that you used?
He took him to the Chervoka.
Chervoka. Which etymology, Corral, we don't know, but good try.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I did my best.
I like it. Sometimes it's hard to trace the roots of words because they change and or, as I think is true in this show, sometimes they make them up.
Yeah.
Don't know, though. So if you know better than us, please write in.
I would love it.
But so they're digging around. Like, I just brings a trowel and just starts, like, digging around. Good news. Just going for bones.
This little spot that they're digging looks so familiar. Like, we've been there. It looked like it was near the second lake. Like, and I had the wondering, was that old can one of the same old cans that we found? Because he finds an old can. It could have been.
Jess, we found so many old cans.
We didn't take any of them home, and they could have been actual stage props from the show.
I thought they could have been old stage props. I also thought they probably were like people who worked on the show, like just drinking beers at night.
Yeah. Or, kids of ranch hands, teen kids going out into the desert to have a few.
Which actually, the can did look just like that. All the cans that we saw, but I also think it's been like 35 years, and I'm sure kids go out there to drink beers at the old set pretty often.
And they probably lose so much more of their luster in the Arizona desert than they do.
It's true. They did look so prop-like, though.
Mm-hmm.
But good news. Finds bones.
Bones.
Human bones.
Human, like real, not deer bones.
And then, like, within just a little while, he's dug up a whole person that's perfectly preserved.
He did such an amazing job at archaeology.
With his trowel.
He has a paintbrush, too.
Yeah, a little one.
Just a little one.
I learned one thing about archaeology somewhat recently, and I can't remember, but where it came from. But basically, they're like, man, this sucks. It takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can only do like the tiniest little bit at a time. So
yeah.
I understand why they didn't do this in real time, because that'd be a real boring show for kids. But it's not super realistic that he dug up this whole body just like that.
Yeah, no. He really wants Danny to help, and Danny's like, nope, I am good. I do not want to do this. And he wants to get out of there ASAP.
So let me start explaining. This is where I paused the show a little bit with Sam, and we talked about it. I talked about a few things, and I was explaining what ancestors are, because that word's going to come up a lot, you know? And I explained, like, it's like Danny's great, 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 great grandparents. Like, they're his family. That's where he comes from. They're a long time ago, but they're his family. And so then it's getting late here on the ranch, and he's like, we got to pack this stuff up and take it back with us. And I asked Sam, do you think they should pack up the bones and take them? And he said, yes. And I said, why? And he said, well, Danny should have them.
No.
And I said, okay, well, what do you think Danny should do with them? And he's like, well, he should put them somewhere safe. He should put them in a box and lock it or something, and that Danny should have them because they're his family. And then I said, well, it's the white man who wants to take the bones. You know, he wants to show them to people and, you know, explain history study with them and study them and all that. And this was, Sam didn't quite understand that, because to Sam, he's like, well, they're important to Danny. Like, that's his bones. That's his family. Which I really liked that. At first when he said, yes, they should take them, I was like, well, this conversation is going to go in a different direction, but that's okay. We'll talk about it. And then, no, it was very clear to him right away. As soon as I explained, those are like his great, 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 great grandparents. Oh, well, that's important to him. Who cares about this other guy?
Yeah. So
I just thought that was kind of cool. And then I said, well, Danny wants to keep them there. And he's like, well, then they should stay there. Mm-hmm. So, but it was interesting, because I didn't know where that conversation was going to go. And, you know, people do make a case for archaeology and putting things on display and learning history. That didn't resonate with Sam as a almost 6-year-old. He's just, he just saw this as like, well, these are the bones of family members, so they're important.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked that.
Yeah. While we're at a little pause, I'd like to just mention that Fenton is like, oh my God, we don't have to deal with permits here. This is heaven.
He called it Mr. Ernst's land. He's like, yeah. This land belongs to Mr. Ernst.
Yeah. So yeah, he's like, we don't have to have any bureaucracy because we're on private property. And I was like, oh shit, how do people deal with this? And there's the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, which kind of covers federal and tribal lands, but it really leaves it up to the states how to deal with remains and artifacts on private property. And there is no good protocol anywhere. It seems like. And
Danny does a lot of really good, like, head-shaking thinking in this one.
Yeah, you can... he does a good job expressing his discomfort through his face.
Through acting.
Through acting. With the method of acting.
The method of acting.
He conveys emotions.
The next scene... Yeah, good job, Danny. The next scene, they're in the lodge, and Melody's selling tickets, and Brad is explaining the displays of all these artifacts very, very poorly. But people are just lining up to give money to this white owner, basically, to look at things that Danny didn't want dug up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all clap for him. And they take a picture. They take a picture of that Danny. It's
like,
great
news. Fenton's gonna come and do 3 more months of excavation with a whole crew.
And the girls are so excited about this. They're so excited for Danny. They're so excited for the ranch. Everybody is like, yippee.
Mr. E is dressed up like Indiana Jones and is signing autographs for some reason. Everybody has pleated shorts.
Everybody. I have to say, David Brisbane is a much more attractive man when he's not in his cowboy stuff.
Yeah. No, this is a good look for him.
It is.
Mm-hmm. He pulls off this hat way better than his, you know, what hat.
I never thought I would say this, but I can kind of see, like, oh, I can see why Laura Innes thinks that guy's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
It's very weird. This is what being an adult is suddenly, huh?
I know. Oh. He looks kind of cute.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
But, oh my gosh, it is great seeing him as, like, the colonizer.
Seriously. Isn't it weird to watch Indiana Jones now? Like, I haven't done it. It's hard not to love Indiana Jones because it's Indiana Jones, but then there's this part in your brain now that's just saying, like, oh my God, you shouldn't take that. It doesn't belong to you. Stop.
So he and Fenton are talking and Danny's like, I gotta interrupt you. And Mr. E tries to brush him off, but Danny doesn't let him, and I am so proud of him for that.
And
he's like, I don't want you to do this.
Danny kicks ass in this episode.
Yeah.
And also, Fenton is really hot.
Yeah, he's really cute. He looks great in orange. And Danny's just like, your top dollar talk does nothing to ameliorate my pain. He's able to tell Brad and Melody, who are like squealing about these amazing finds.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, nah, that's called grave robbing, yo.
Yeah.
And says it so plainly that I think they were able to hear it.
Yeah, call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. I really liked that about Danny in this one. He was very honest and brave.
Yeah.
He didn't shy away from telling people what was up. And then I'm glad we had a little moment of B plot here.
Oh, wait. But I had one other U in my notes.
Oh, yeah.
And it was when Fenton says to Mr. E, we'll both make a killing.
Ooh.
Like that was pretty poignant writing.
I think the Roths did a great job in this one.
Yeah.
I think this is one that would be really great, like, for adults to watch with kids.
Yeah.
Whether it be, like, in a class setting or a parent and a child or just whatever. I think this is a really – there are probably some nuanced things like that the kids aren't picking up on. But then, like, in my situation, it's really amazing to hear the natural perspective and talk about it.
This
is why I get really frustrated with people who think kids shouldn't watch TV. Like, really? I mean, if you're listening to this show, you probably watch TV as a kid. I mean, come on. Otherwise, why would you be listening to this show?
That's really good. Yep.
But a lot of us were raised with Nickelodeon, and Lisa made the joke to us before, like, well, you're welcome. Like, you know, we've helped raise you. But truly, TV kind of did. Yeah. And I think we turned out just fine, in part because of that. You are skeptical.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon is different. I don't think.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be okay. We might
be okay.
Yeah. And I'm going to, because of, as a former educator of children who are of our generation, like they were born from people of our generation that I taught, I absolutely 100% believe that today's young people are the best people that have existed. I think they're the best generation. I will fight anybody who says otherwise. I think they're the most tolerant, kind, sweet, just lovely people. And I take credit for our generation for bringing them into being. And older or younger Gen X and older millennials, those are our kids right now that are about to launch into the world.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. So I think we're doing just fine. And I think Nickelodeon did a great job.
I buy it.
Anyway, let's try to get through here. Jake and Buddy are listening to their sonar devices with their back to the lake.
Yeah, and something's coming, and something's coming, and something's coming, and turns out it's Danny.
In a canoe because he's sad.
Yeah, he's not just like swimming through the lake sneakily. He's having a solitary canoe, which sounds like the best place to do some thinking.
Sounds so good, but he's rowing right toward two dumbasses.
Yeah. And he's having a rough time, and it's obvious. And Jake and Buddy try and see if he wants to talk about anything. And he's just like, nope, I gotta figure this out on my own. Yeah. And I love how Jake shows up in this episode.
Oh my God.
Jake is a sweet friend.
He's such a good friend. I think my favorite thing to come of Jake's arrival is the friendship between he and Danny. It elevated Danny to, like, just brought out a more complete character. And also it was something that just didn't quite exist with Ted. You know I love Ted. I always loved Ted. But Jake rounded out the cast in a way that really amplified the rest of the characters.
Do we have other examples? Like, in Saved by the Bell, for sure, like, the male friendships were not intimate at all. I don't think there were sweetnesses in like Party of Five or the other one,
Seventh Heaven,
Beverly Hills 90210.
I need to think on that, but I feel like it's a relatively
men showing up for each other is not something that you see a whole hell of a lot of.
Yeah, I feel like it's a relatively new thing that is being displayed in media. And it's lovely. It's wonderful. It's good for everybody, right? Like, I think about the friendships and in Ted Lasso, like how people crave that. Like, I just want to see people being supportive of each other. Like, so this was that, and I think you're right. It probably wasn't super common.
Yeah,
and it was exactly that. This next scene where Danny is taking the lantern and is in the lodge and he's talking with the skeleton and just kind of
the warrior
and just paying respects, and Jake walks in just gently, like tenderly and kind, and their conversation is so sweet.
Noticing your buddy's having a bad day and he's not back at the bunk when he should be, so you go and look for him, like, oh.
And it wasn't just,
I
like,
assume that's what happened.
Goof, goof, doof about. It was just sweet. There was no joking. It was just, well, I mean, there was a joke. And then he apologized for making a joke.
He gets it.
Yeah.
And
He understands that Danny's got to do what Danny's got to do, and he encourages it.
Yeah, and I think what he understands, you said he gets it. I think what he gets is that he understands that he doesn't understand exactly what Danny is feeling. And he's just, like, literally just there to support him.
Yeah. Good demonstration of allyship.
Mm-hmm. Love it. This is a good episode. I know we still have a bit left, but...
Yeah, but that's where my notes end.
Yeah, because basically what it comes down to then is... The rest of this thing on out, Danny is trying to decide if he's going to do something about this. Like, he knows.
Yeah, it's can I tell you wrong. The quote?
Yeah, yeah.
He says, "I know what I think is right, but other people will think it's wrong."
Ugh, that's a really good quote.
Right?
It was around that spot that I snapped a picture of Sam watching this to show you like how he was really thinking about it.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk specifically about that quote. I thought about pausing it and talking to him about it, but it kind of looked like it landed and I didn't want to interrupt.
The next morning, the skeleton is gone and Danny is gone. And the staff, Jake eventually realizes that he's got a cover for Danny.
Mm-hmm. And I love that he just instinctively covered for Danny.
Yeah.
Finn is freaking the F out.
Yeah. And Brad's got some cute braids.
Yes, absolutely.
Bows in her braid, rather.
Finn obviously knows that this is bullshit. And he's like, find that kid. You either need to get these artifacts. He's like, number one, you have to get the artifacts back. And number two, find out who did it.
And fire him.
And it's probably not a guess, but if it is, call the cops. But if it's Danny, and we know it's Danny, basically, then fire him, because F Danny.
Yeah.
And so that sucks, because clearly Mr. Ernst doesn't want to fire Danny, and all of the friends. Like, he's a good friend. Of course you're going to stick up for Danny.
Yeah. Good friend, good colleague. Like, he's just who you want to be working with on the dude ranch.
And you know Danny is not going to do something like this flippantly. Like, this isn't a big deal if he's going to do this. Danny doesn't break the rules unless it's worth breaking them.
Yeah. So they're all discussing what the what. And in the corral, and Danny comes up on his horse. And
he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he does a good horse noise.
Yeah.
Horse wrangling noise. And it's apparent that he took the bones.
No, he comes clean about it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Which Mr. Ernst wasn't expecting. He's like, oh, I'm not going to accuse you. And he's like, no, I did it. And that was a surprise. Whether it was actually a surprise that he took him, it was a surprise that he admitted it. And then Danny gets to kind of explain why.
Yeah.
This is a really nice scene.
Yeah. He took them to a place where they're never going to be found. And Brad's like, but you'll bring him back, right?
Yeah. That seems like a lot of work.
He's like, no, we don't go digging up people, my people.
Yeah, and then he says to Mr. Ernst, he's like, well, I mean, because they're saying this is part of history, you know, it's important, people learn about it, whatever. And he's like, okay, well, are you going to go dig up Benjamin Franklin? Like, no, you wouldn't do that. And they say, well, that's different. And then he says, okay, it's not actually. What if we dug up your Aunt Martha?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would you feel then? And then that strikes a chord. Mr. Ernst is like, no, she makes the best pie or whatever. Mm-hmm. Can't dig up Aunt Martha. She's important. He's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mr. E is not firing him. But then Fenton comes up and he's like, you gotta fire him.
This is worth double the money now.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a contract now. It's so hard for Mr. Ernst to turn down this money.
The money and the fame and the notoriety. The
prestige.
The prestige, especially the money, though. That's where he starts to cry. But he doesn't. He does turn it down.
Mm-hmm. He quietly, softly says, nah. And
you can thank my Aunt Martha.
Do it for Aunt Martha.
Yeah. That's nice. That was nice.
Yeah. And I said you a bunch in my notes, but I said, aw, because Fenton says, you'll never know what you gave up. And he says, no, but I know what I'm keeping.
I know. And then Danny smiles.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Jess, I can see now this little smile he gives at the end, and he's looking cool and he's leaning with his hands in his pocket. I can see why you had a crush on him when you were a kid. Cutie.
That guy has integrity.
He does have integrity.
I love that in a man.
I know you do.
And a woman. And anybody.
And anybody.
All the people.
Do what you say you're going to do. Do the right thing.
Yeah. Hey, that's the name of the episode.
What?
Oh, and so we leave Mr. Ernst crying. And then we see the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my whole entire life. It's an antique diving bell.
Oh, my God. One, and yes.
I love it.
I did too. Sam got super excited. The moment he saw that, he was like, oh, they're going to go looking for the monster.
Heck yeah.
And then he laughed very hard at the last thing that happened, which was Buddy being tied to a rope attached to a little thing, life preserver. Yeah. And then when they realize that smudge is not a monster, it's your damn finger on the front of the lens, buddy. Mm-hmm. Jake pushes him in, but he's holding the life preserver, so he goes in right with him. That got a good laugh from this.
It was pretty cute.
5-year-old, yeah.
And these two, everybody's wearing pink shirts in this episode, and I love it.
I do too. Jess, this was a good one.
Yeah, for real. Can you even with horseshoes?
No, but I'm afraid that I came off as like pretty thirsty in this episode, and I don't want that to be the takeaway. I just thought everybody looked nice.
Correct.
Anyway.
So, because everybody looks so nice, 75 horseshoes.
How many horseshoes are you giving it? Or am I supposed to go first this time? I think I went first last time.
Oh, man. This one was one of the most thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sweetest with the friendships.
Mm-hmm.
One of the, like, most insightful about about the state of things. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And also it was just really a good watch. The pacing was great. Mm-hmm. The camera work was great.
Mm-hmm.
The sound was great. Like everybody looked hot. Can I give it 8.5?
You can.
I think that might be my top score of all of the episodes.
I think it is aligned with what we did for Ride, She Said, and Ghost Stories.
Yeah.
Jess, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
There are a couple of things that I use to help me determine my horseshoes. One, do I remember this episode from being a kid?
Good metric.
Holy hell, this is probably the number one that I remember. Honestly, this is probably that and Battle of the Sexes. Those are my top two that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Two,
did it
have an impact on me when I was a kid? Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So did Ride, She Said. And so this is similar. I mean, I remember this, like formative things that I think come from this. That's a pretty big deal. And then three, how hot were the characters? No, I'm just kidding. Three is just all the regular stuff. Like, was the pacing good? Like, was the A and B plot woven in well enough? Did I get to see all the characters that I liked so much? And I got Jake in this one, and that was fun. And I got to see two girls together being silly and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I've reserved this rating, and I did not expect to give it today. I'm giving it a 9. That's my highest. Damn. This has been my highest episode.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. But I'm doing it. The how much I remember it. How much I remember it is what gave it that extra half a point.
Love it.
Like the when he's in there talking to the skeleton and the camera is kind of angled down above them and looking to, like the skeleton is kind of lit up inside of that coffin. It's exactly how it was in my memory.
Mm.
So yeah, that's pretty good. Wow. That's a nine. That's a nine.
I love
it. We'll see if anything beats it here on out.
But listen, what do you think? What?
How freaking awesome would it be if Joe Torres was out there like vigilante reburying artifacts?
Oh,
and he's off the grid. He's off the grid because it's like super not okay legally to be stealing artifacts and reburying them. But he is a legit reverse Indiana Jones. Hell yeah. Joe Torres. I
love it. Oh, hell yeah.
I'm so into that. What do you think? Do you think that?
No, you nailed it.
Yeah.
You nailed it. Like,
yeah.
That is 100% what Joe Torres is up to. And oh my God, do I wish him well.
I wish him so well. I wish him to just like get them all, get all the artifacts and rebury them.
I am grateful to have conversations with you.
Me too.
About these things.
Me too. Because as your dad says, we both majored in dinner conversation.
100%.
I love it. I love you.
I love you. And I love podcast. I love listeners.
I love lamp.
I love Hey Dude.
I do too. I do too. And this was
I love Danny.
Oh my God. I love
Danny.
Sam asked me while we were watching it tonight. He said, is watching Hey Dude important to you? And I said, yes, it is. And he said, why? And I said, because it meant a lot to me when I was your age and I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the whole other aspect of now I'm watching it with him and I'm talking about it with you and there's all these things. But like number one takeaway, hell yeah. Hey Dude's important to me.
Yeah.
So if ever I give the impression that it's not, listener, that is false. It is very important to me. This is one of the more important things in my life, actually. And that sounds like I'm joking and I'm not.
Yeah. It is being so important to me right now to connect with the things that really lit me up when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so beautiful to see it written in my tiny handwriting.
That was so cute, Jess. Oh my God. I showed everybody. Oh, so cute.
It makes me happy to see what I was absorbing and taking lessons from. Has so many things that continue to ring true and feel good in my heart.
It made me super happy when I saw that post of yours with that writing. And you saying this was your number one favorite show, that it made my memory of us in the bunk talking about this show so authentic. It made it so.
Yeah.
Like I realized, I was like, wow, when we had that conversation, that wasn't just like, oh yeah, I liked that show. It was very true in that remembering the authenticity of our early friendship.
Yeah.
Made me so happy. And I just want to give you 8 hugs.
Oh, me too. The other hugs that I want to give you are about talking about serial killers freshman year of college, like, and how comforting it was to know that early on. Because I think a lot of people didn't understand that having that morbid curiosity was normal.
Yeah, that was before
until
that was
my favorite murder.
And yeah.
I'm pretty sure we had a conversation about my favorite murder.
I'm pretty sure we were like Karen and Georgia first. I hate to say that to them, but I'm kind of think maybe we were.
I don't think you're altogether wrong.
We've not
had a podcast since 2002. Like it just hasn't been on air.
That's correct. That is correct.
Did we sign off?
No.
You do it first.
Well, Joe Torres, I think we already said, hope you're well. Get those bones reburied real good. Mm-hmm. And Jess, I love you and bye for now.
Bye for now.
Thank you.